restrictions apply. See store at jcp.com for details.
AutoZone has over 5,000 locations all across the country. But no matter where you're at, there's only one thing you can be sure of. It's gonna get hot. Heat causes battery fluid to evaporate, which could damage your battery's internal structure. That's why Duralast batteries are designed to beat the heat. Tested to start your car at up to 167 degrees Fahrenheit. And even though it won't get that hot in Alaska, you never know. It might. Duralast. Proven tough and sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Coming up on the Gym Class, the Tuesday edition here on KGYM. The Warriors won the championship last night. We'll put the NBA to bed. Talk about that coming up. Lost a legend yesterday around Eastern Iowa. We will kick that around as well. Cal Elder to join us to talk Major League Baseball. And we'll also talk some racing with Ed Carpenter. All that and more. It is the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM Sports. And we welcome you in to the Tuesday edition of the program. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer, at 3:04 here on a Tuesday. Another hot one, a scorcher around Eastern Iowa. Hydrate out there. Hopefully some relief coming up in the next 24, 36, 48 hours or so in the form of some rain. And we certainly could use it out there. We got a ton of things to talk about here on a Tuesday edition of the program as we welcome you in. As I mentioned, Cal Elder will join us. Ed Carpenter, IndyCar driver, will be joining us as well on the program here today. We start things off with breaking news, as far as the Major League Baseball draft is concerned. Continuing on, they're in round number 6 right now. And two Hawkeyes have now been selected. And within the last half hour or so, within 10 picks of one another, Mark. Very nice feather in the cap of the Iowa baseball program.
Indeed. They are through 6 rounds of the Major League Baseball draft, just underway in the 7th. 4 players with Iowa ties have been taken so far. The first one taken, Daniel Tillo, who you're familiar with, Scott, at least his basketball prowess in Sioux City.
And his baseball for Sioux City North.
Yeah. Originally went to Kentucky, now at Iowa Western. The Kansas City Royals took him in the 3rd round, the 90th pick overall. He's a 6'5" left-handed pitcher. In the 4th round, John Swanda, Des Moines Roosevelt right-handed pitcher, was taken by the Los Angeles Angels. He's a Nebraska commit. And then in the 6th round, 2 Iowa Hawkeyes, Jake Adams, big first baseman and national home run leader, taken by Houston with the 181st pick overall. Followed 7 picks later by Mason McCoy, Iowa shortstop, taken by the Baltimore Orioles with the 188th pick. So there you have it, up to date through 6 rounds, the MLB draft.
Yep, and if there are more, we will keep you updated right here on KGYM. And first time, I believe, since 92, since a pair of Hawks were taken in the single-digit rounds as far as the Major League Baseball draft is concerned. So.
Yeah, the slot values for those two guys are in the $200,000 to $250,000 range. Whether they get that money remains to be seen. But at least in terms of McCoy, I think he was projected maybe 10th round, somewhere in there. But it just takes that one team, right? Mm-hmm. And that team was Houston.
Very true. Very true. And a chance, an outside chance, that Jake Adams might be in Quad Cities. Probably not going to be right out of the chute. But, of course, the River Bandits are an Astros affiliate. So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. No Oriole affiliate, by the way, in the Midwest League as of this time. 319-366-1600. That is Jerry Ask Investment Services text line if you'd like to join us in the conversation today as well. Of course, we have an NBA champion. The dynasty is underway, however you want to put it. 2 out of the last 3 years for the Golden State Warriors. I watched the second half last night. Listened to some on the way home. Watched the second half last night. Golden State is terrific. LeBron James, I don't see why everyone's putting him down, dissing him, whatever the case may be with this whole comparison. Pretty darn good. The thing I noticed is when you've got all this offensive firepower, Mark, And Golden State certainly does a little bit more than Cleveland, obviously, with the win last night. Hard to stop these people when they're on their game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an offensive-dominated final, certainly. Cleveland didn't play a lot of defense in the second half. But like I said, when you got all that firepower, it's hard to stop those guys when they're on their game.
Admittedly, I watched the last 4 or 5 minutes. I decided that Adalberto Mejia giving up 9 runs early, the Twins weren't going to come back, so I switched it over and did catch the ending. And I was really happy for Kevin Durant getting his first NBA title. And Steph Curry and all the others, Draymond Green. It's just a wonderful team. And you got to wonder how many more they're going to win in the next few years.
But we were all thinking that with the Miami Heat, too. Weren't we? And then, bang, LeBron leaves. Get a little older in the tooth, whatever the case may be. And now you're talking about Golden State being the next. There's always going to be a next great team coming down the line. Which reminds me, of course, tonight, the start of the 30 for 30 with the Lakers and the Celtics. Oh, by the way, Lakers and the Celtics were owned a decade. even prior to that, into the 60s as well. I'm looking forward to seeing that for the next two nights. But Golden State, boy, when they get going, man alive, there. Who do you stop? Just
a nice bench, too.
Pick your poison. And they've got some cap room next year, too, to maybe even get better. So we'll see.
What do you think out there? KGYMRadio.com is the location of our poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Emil's Hideaway, our sponsor. How many NBA titles will Golden State win in the next 5 seasons? We give you 6 choices from 0 to 5. Go ahead and vote. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast, behind the Taco John's, next to Home Depot.
Yep, go ahead and love to hear. And kind of interested to see what you have to say about that. A couple more things here I want to get to. Jeff Goodman from ESPN.com, ESPN Insider, college basketball reporter, reporting today that the Big Ten men's basketball schedule may go from 18 games to 20 games coming up, and that would be taking place in the next couple of years. That, of course, from Jim Delaney as well. I don't see anything wrong with it. Tom Izzo did pretty much say what probably all the coaches were thinking in the Big Ten. Yeah, we will do it, but the other 4 Power 5 conferences are going to have to acquiesce and do that as well. ACC has already said, starting in 2019-2020, they are going to go to a 20-game schedule. I think it's great. Get rid of these games against directional institutions during mid-December and play a few of your, the tournaments, the Guardians Classic, whatever the case may be. Some of the good ones out there. Get one in. Seems like every team has one. And a couple cupcakes, but then get into conference play and games that really, really people want to see. I think it's a great move if they go with it.
On the other hand, 18-20, what's the difference? Besides 2 games.
2. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you get rid of some of those games that you fill your arena with half the capacity, and it's not good for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
At that point. But don't shut those people out completely, because they do need some revenue to help out their athletic department. So you got to look at it that way as well. 319-366-1600. One more before we get to something we need to get to. And that is, over the weekend, it seems like they're getting younger and younger. Over the weekend, Lane Kiffin offered a 6th grader a scholarship for a football scholarship. A young man by the name of Pierce Clarkson, whose father is a quarterback guru, Jeff Clarkson. Well, add a 5th grader. The University of Hawaii has offered a 5th grader a football scholarship. He is a Hawaiian. His father is a big-time coach in the youth area out there in Hawaii. I want to make sure I find out this name. When is enough enough, Mark? They showed his highlights. He's playing on a peewee team. Peewee's probably not the best word for it, but a youth team, like Metro Youth Football here.
Right.
They're showing highlights, and he's playing for a Metro Youth Football team. He's in fifth grade.
I mean, these coaches can't be serious. I mean, it'd be very easily to pass on them once they find out they're not going to be that good by the time they reach the 10th grade.
The 10th grade!
And what the kids don't know right now, obviously. They're not going to sign anything. I think it's a charade.
Is it a publicity stunt more than anything?
Well, I think it's something that you mentioned. There's an relationship between the head coaches and
yes.
the fathers.
Yes.
So maybe it's just an acknowledgement that hey, your kid's pretty good right now, and if he's good enough in 7 years,
7 years,
we might take another look.
That's crazy. 319-366-1600. When is enough enough as far as that goes? All right. 14 past three. We're going to talk to Cal Eldred about this, but a few minutes here that we need to pay tribute to just an icon here in eastern Iowa that we lost yesterday, about 24 hours ago, killed in a farm accident. And that was Arlo Becker, who leaves us at the age of 79. And really, Mark, if you're a race fan, local race fan out there, asphalt, dirt, whatever the case may be, or even if you are a basketball fan, I mean, it crossed over. You know Arlo Becker. You know of Arlo Becker and the great legacy that he had, like him or not. And that is really has to be said because, you know, Arlo enjoyed his booze. B-O-O-S as much as he enjoyed his cheers. Mm-hmm. He just wanted you to make noise of some sort for him. And we lost him tragically yesterday.
He was often in the thick of whatever was happening at Hawkeye Downs or any other track he was at. And he raced for a very long time. Mike Becker, his son, used to be a guest on this show. I ran into Arlo Becker maybe a couple, 3 years ago at Cedral Supper Club, one of his favorite haunts. And I had met Arlo a few times. I didn't expect him to remember me, but I introduced myself and asked him how things were going. And he was kind of standoffish. But then I asked him about his daughters. That was the true inspiration for me wanting to talk to Arlo Becker. His daughters, Lisa and Robin Becker, terrific basketball players. Cedar Rapids Jefferson, Robin now a collegiate head coach, Lisa, the mother of the top recruit in the country, Michael Porter Jr.
Yep.
Both terrific high school basketball players whom I had covered. And when I asked Arlo about his daughters, he just lit up and couldn't stop talking. And we had a heck of a conversation and probably the last time I saw him, but he really cared about his family. And kind of a tragic accident yesterday when he was on a tractor. But you know him much better than I. And some of the happenings out at Hawkeye Downs when he was on the track. Rubbing and racing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting. And I talked with Scott Westerberg, who's putting together something tonight on TV9, which I invite everyone to tune into. And you know, whether you enjoyed Arlo or whether you rooted against him, he didn't care. And I thought Jeremiah Davis gave a great quote to start his tribute piece in the paper today, and that was, if you can't win, at least be exciting.
Be spectacular.
And be spectacular. Yeah. And that's exactly what Arlo Becker did. Landon Castle had a very nice tribute on Twitter to him as well. He remembers the first time he went up to him, got mad at him, and Arlo just kind of laughed at him. But you know what? Arlo would want to beat you on the track, but he had a great heart off the track and would help people, certainly. Did he have his detractors? Obviously, everybody has their detractors out there. But when you talk about racers over the last half century, he's got to be up there in your top five, certainly.
Really pioneered the modified car, didn't
he? In IMCA, yes. Yep. Kind of the godfather, if you will, as far as modifieds are concerned, which is a huge class now. And, of course, with IMCA as well, and the great races that he had with Mike Schulte everywhere around. Arlo Becker won features in six consecutive decades. I mean, think about that. The 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. He won races.
Sometimes when he didn't have a driver's license.
Well, yeah, I suppose that is
true. That's
a
true story, yeah. But some of these 13-year-olds don't either, so
no,
it's kind of immaterial.
Exactly. Your thoughts about Arlo, 319-366-1600. Got a couple minutes here before we step aside and talk with Cal Eldred coming up and talk some Major League Baseball and maybe find out how much Cal made in his first minor league contract. I think we ask him that every year, and we forget about it each and every year. But, yeah, whether you were at, Independence, the Benton County Speedway, wherever, or Hawkeye Downs before it was paved, when it was dirt, and now after it was paved.
Well, he's a promoter, too. He had
absolutely
the Race 'em and Wreck 'em series.
Demo derbies?
Demo derbies. There was a tragic accident out there, and I think I had to quit those events. But he knew what people wanted and delivered.
Yeah, and certainly one of the great, great racers of all time as far as Eastern Iowa is concerned out there. So our best to Lisa and Robin, as well as Mike and Michelle and everybody. So will be missed, certainly. And in fact, I saw him. He was at Hawkeye Downs a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I don't think this past Friday, but the Friday before that for the big late model race out there. Look down on the underneath the flag stand just to the left on the home straightaway, and there was Arlo out there watching things. So that was neat. 319-366-1600 as we talk a little bit about Arlo Becker here. And let's go to the phones, and let's bring in Ryan from Vinton. I think I know which Ryan this is, as a matter of fact. Ryan, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
You bet. And just a memory of Arlo?
Yeah, they always said that Arlo didn't care who he was racing against. He was going to treat everybody the same way. I remember Channel 7 News was in Vinton one night for a special that featured Ken Schrader back when Ken was really hot and heavy into doing all of the local dirt tracks. And Arlo, in the feature that night, he took Schrader out. And the crowd, you know, they were cheering, they were booing. And like I said, it didn't matter who he was racing against. He was Arlo, and he was going to do what he had to do to put on a show.
That's right. And he probably loved hearing the people get on him about as much as they did cheering for him.
Oh, absolutely, as long as they were making noise.
Exactly. All right, Ryan. Hey, thanks for that. Appreciate it.
You bet.
All right, 321 here on the program. 319-366-1600. All right. We got to get to a lot of stuff here. If you want to text something, a tribute to Arlo, we'll read that. And,
you bet.
And get to that. But we're going to talk to Cal Elder and talk some baseball here at 321 on a Tuesday edition of the program. So stay with us. A lot more to come right after this here on KGYM.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Hit your stride early morning or slice into the afternoon at the City of Cedar Rapids Golf Courses. Special rates will make your game an even better value. You'll find early bird and twilight rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com. Enjoy the country setting of Gardner, the easygoing nature of Jones, the bustle and activity of Twin Pines, or the rolling hills of Ellis. Find early bird and after 2 p.m. twilight rates for the City of Cedar Rapids golf courses at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes, KGYM.
Welcome back to the gym class on KGYM 323. Scott UNASH, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer. Don't forget, we got a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to be giving away. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit, as we have for you our lucky winner out there, a 24-pack of either regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper and KGYM t-shirts, plus a KGYM pint glass for you. No, we will have that coming up before 4 o'clock today. Also, tomorrow, Lunchbox Heroes, the guys from the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn will be down at the Madison Street Project in Iowa City, and we'll hear more about that. Big thanks to Built by Pros, lead sponsor of Lunchbox Heroes, back. Probably means it's going to rain, because we haven't had one yet where I think it didn't sprinkle or rain, Mark. So maybe that's a good thing for Eastern Iowa.
There's a chance anyway. We'll see.
There's a chance. There's always a chance. All right, so that'll be coming up tomorrow. Cal Aldred set to join us right now, Tuesdays here on Gym Class on KGYM. And Cal, how are you doing today?
Great. How are you guys?
Not too bad. Are you around our fair Eastern Iowa, or are you out and about this week?
No, it wasn't hot enough at home, so I'm in Arizona.
Oh, well, very good. Very good. Making sure. It's a dry heat, Cal.
Yeah. If you like living in your oven at about 450, you like Arizona right now.
I don't know if you've heard, Cal, two Iowa Hawkeyes have been taken each in the sixth round, Jake Adams and Mason McCoy.
Yeah, I heard. I just saw where Jake was taken by Houston and Mason McCoy was taken by Baltimore. So I think that's great. That's awesome. I doubt they're going to be in Hawkeye uniforms next year.
Yeah, I mean, talking about that a little bit, and I think your thinking was the same thinking as Rick Heller, as we start off with a little bit of college baseball first. And for the Hawkeyes, and this is a good thing for the program, though. I say that knowing that a lot of people would like to see them in black and gold next year.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously McCoy being a senior, he was not going to be back. This is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for these young men to get a chance to go play. And I think that it is a great thing for the program. It may not always be what the coaching staff would like to see happen, but when you look at the University of Football or University of Iowa football program and the number of NFL players that they have produced over the years. And obviously, a lot of people are going to say, well, there's linemen, some college, from Iowa, which is, there's a lot of those. But a lot of colleges, too, get known for their pitching. But when you can put pitchers and position players both into the draft, I think it just bodes well for hopefully your recruiting process, because so much of college baseball is not necessarily about development. It's about winning. And I understand coaches need to win to keep their jobs, but development is very, very important. If you develop players, you're going to have good teams.
Cal, I know you're not a scout per se, but you're very much into development. And I want to ask you a philosophical question, and maybe it varies from team to team. The Twins took Royce Lewis, a high school shortstop, with the number one pick. And after him, there were some college pitchers, a left-hander, right-hander, a couple position players. I just sit there and think, Royce Lewis makes it. It's going to be 3, 4, 5 years, if that. And what are clubs looking at? I mean, you're going to get a quicker return, theoretically, on a college player, are you not?
Well, you're hoping that you're going to get a quicker return on a college player. But with the way the draft is structured right now, and then the fact that each slot, in the first 10 rounds, there's an amount of money that's allocated for each one of those slots. And what you're seeing, what we're starting to see, is that high school kids are dominating, especially the first two rounds. And then you're going to see this separation, which you're starting to see it now in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds. you're starting to see more and more college players taken, seniors taken. And I think that what you're trying to do is you're trying to match up those dollars that you're being able to use in those first 10 rounds. So the draft has gone from being the best player to the, I shouldn't say the worst player, but that's the way you look at it, to now it's become more of a jigsaw puzzle. And it's because of how the money is allocated out, how it's used, and how you're penalized if you go over that slot money. But from the Twins' point of view, in that first pick, these first rounds, it's tough because you want to get the best player possible. And you look at Byron Buxton, and if I'm going to take a position player, I'm taking a shortstop. He can play in multiple positions. And if I don't mind that pick, but if you're strictly looking for pitching, you're right, Mark. You go after, to me, the college pitcher. But I'm seeing more and more that that colleges aren't developing players as much as they're more concerned about winning. And I get that. I understand that. But from an organizational standpoint, I think you're also right, Mark, and every organization has they look at it different. And some years they change their thought process because of what they have in their organization already.
Maybe interested to know, Cal, just taken in the seventh round, a teammate of your son Luke's, Dalton Higgins, Dallas Baptist, taken by the Yankees.
Yeah, I had Luke give me a list of his teammates that he thought ought to be drafted, and Dalton was right up there with him. I know there was Seth Elledge was taken early by the Mariners in the fourth round, and he was their closer. Dalton Higgins was basically a setup guy and a second closer, and to see relievers taken this early, you're wondering if that's just that team's thought process that he's going to be a reliever. But both of these kids, both Seth Elledge and Dalton Higgins, are big kids that could possibly be starters, and they've got some great arms.
Now, there's 350 spots for pitchers, roughly, in the major leagues, and many more in the minors. So there you have it.
You've got to have pitching. And you know what? But, Mark, that goes back to your initial question. When it comes to the draft, you know, I'm like, and maybe this is where you're going with this, but, Mark, I'm draft pitching, and draft college pitching. That's going to help your organization quickly. Plus, what are teams looking for down the stretch? Mm-hmm. When we get to the trade deadline, we're going to be talking about pitchers. And they want the guy that is the setup guy. Teams need closers. You saw Aroldis Chapman traded at the deadline last year. Plus you look for that. Teams always need if they had one more starter or two more starters. And I said that about the Twins earlier this year. If they had one more guy, they could plug into that rotation. And that's, you can then trade for that position player. So just a theory of mine, and I say that, and we also, from our organization, with the 14th pick in the first round, drafted a high school first baseman.
Going back to the draft, you obviously remember the day you were drafted, Cal. Did you buy anything with your first contract money that you always wanted, or you just went over that part?
Fortunately, I skipped that.
Okay.
But, you know, in being the 17th pick overall in the country, I don't think I realized how significant that was. I really didn't, guys. I look at it now. I was just thinking about it the other day, and I'm like, that's a pretty cool thing to have happen. Now, the 17th pick in the country these days makes a little bit more money than I signed for, fellas.
Just a bit.
But it's pretty cool. I'm looking it up. I have to look it up. The players, Clark Schmidt from the Yankees, from South Carolina pitcher, and his slot money's $3.5 million. It's one of those things where you're just so elated to get a chance to play professional baseball. That's where I was at, and having been drafted out of high school by the Mets, and then getting a chance to go in the first round, I just wanted to go play baseball.
Did you come close to signing out of high school?
You know, it's actually a little closer than you think. And I have to give, you know, most college coaches, they want to win. They want every player to come to their school that they've recruited and spent time recruiting. But I actually was still talking to the Met clear up until 2 days before I went to school. And that was 1986. And I was actually a week late for college because I was on the Cedar Rapids Red Legion team that played in the Legion World Series up in South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Mets could keep talking to me, and I was still eligible until I went to class. And they actually got to a pretty decent number, but it was closer. Now looking back, it was closer than I think, but I was ill-prepared to go play professional ball. But as what I was talking about with a college coach, Coach Dwayne Banks told me, he said, man, if they get to a certain number, Cal, you can still pay for your education, and that may be an opportunity you can't turn down. But I think the right choice was made in going to school.
Mm.
Gooden, Darling, Fernandez, Eldred.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it was tough, guys, because I had an opportunity to fly to New York and throw a bullpen at Shea Stadium in front of the big league coaches and then get to be there during one of their ball games. And that was tough. That would have been pretty cool to see at that time, because that was a World Series championship team. And you mentioned those guys on that staff. That would have been pretty awesome to see that. But Kenny Sharper, a guy we've mentioned on this show before, knew we had made a commitment to the Legion team, and I'm glad I stuck around and played because we had a blast, and I wouldn't change it that for anything.
Cal, Ryan from Walford on the text line has a question for you, and it's in regards to Hunter Green, I believe. He says, I don't remember his name, but wouldn't the kid who throws 102 raise a slight red flag as far as how long he could sustain a career?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Hunter Green, high school kid that throws that hard, what he does have, obviously, is youth on his side. The other thing is he's an excellent position player.
Mm-hmm.
I know the Reds took him, and they have him as a pitcher, but for him, he has a lot of things to fall back on. One thing, if he hurts his arm severe enough, he can still be a position player. Second of all, if he gets hurt and he goes from being able to pitch at 97, 98 to now pitching at 91, 92, 93, you can still get big leaguers out. So I think that that's a good pick at that high, and I think this kid has an opportunity to play for a long time. There's just he can come down a notch and still get people out.
Yeah, Cal Elder joining us here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class of KGYM. Let's get into Major League Baseball. Dusty Baker came out and said, we need a relief pitcher. We need a closer for the Washington Nationals. Was that the right thing to say?
Get in line, Dusty.
Was that the right thing to say to your bullpen?
Well, we're just talking about it, right? Just talking about it. That's what people need is pitching. And that's why when this draft goes on, I'm saying, my goodness, just draft as many pitchers as you can, because if you've got 40 rounds of pitchers, somebody's going to need one sooner or later. And you can't pass up on the high school phenom or the phenom coming out of college as a position player. But we've talked about this, that they do need a relief pitcher. And that's tough to say, though. It's tough for your manager to come out and say that. I don't think that's the right thing to say. If he wants to say it in his office in front of the general manager, that's fine. But when you say this in the media, that really is an indictment on everybody in their bullpen. And that's tough to take. That's risk of losing your clubhouse.
Cal, Aaron Judge's body of work was 27 major league games coming into this year. What did you know about him before this year?
Well, it was interesting. I knew that he was a first round pick. What guys around the game talked about was his size and that he has a lot of pop. That's pretty much what I knew about Aaron Judge coming into this year. And we're finding out a whole lot more.
Mm.
You know, he, I think, you know what, and I think that that's a great sign by the New York Yankees, and the sign I'm talking about is Matt Holliday. Here's a guy that had somewhat of the expectations on him that are going to be on and are on Aaron Judge, and especially being in New York. And I think Matt is an excellent person, both with the baseball experience, with the life experience, to help him handle that. If Aaron will allow him to do that and ask questions of Matt and follow Matt's work ethic. So I think the Yankees were thinking here, but Aaron Judge, my goodness, he's a fun guy to watch. He's a guy you want to watch every at-bat, like a Sosa or a McGuire.
Mm-hmm. Houston Astros right now have some problems on their pitching staff. I believe four starters right now on the disabled list anyway. Keuchel, McCullers Jr. went on there the other day. They still have a 12-game lead, but Seattle's starting to play good baseball, and there's a lot of games left with Texas, who got them last night and have won four in a row.
Well, and you guys know that that's been my biggest concern about Houston so far. I think they've got the offense, they've got the youth, they've got kind of momentum on their side. They've got people that want to see them be successful. But if their starting pitching continues to stay banged up and keeps getting more banged up, they're going to have a tough time. At the end of the year, I should say at the beginning of the year, these coaching staffs, these front office people, they sit down and they think, we've got to have a large amount of our innings come from our starting pitchers, and they've got to be quality innings. And when they start running guys out there that should be in AAA, maybe in AA, and maybe fifth starters instead of being pushed into the third and fourth role, it gets tough. We've seen a little bit for us with Kansas City. We've got Eric Skoglund and Jacob Junis, who are AAA starters, who we would have liked to have gotten a little more seasoning in the minor leagues, and they're pitching in Kansas City. And so it gets tough, and it puts a lot more pressure on the bullpens. And Houston does have a good bullpen, but it can get taxed in a hurry.
Cal, Joe Maddon's going to bat Anthony Rizzo in the leadoff spot tonight, probably the fifth or sixth different leadoff guy that Maddon has had up there. Is that a sign of desperation, or is it a wise move?
I think it's a sign of desperation. Why don't they just lead off John Jay? I've seen John Jay play. I've watched him. He's a winner, and it just seems like people don't give the guy credit. And I know sometimes it's hard to find a spot for him to play in their outfield because they have a lot of talent. But I think John Jay is their best leadoff guy at this point. He is knowledgeable enough and has had enough big league at bats that he can adjust his style of hitting and change his at bats to be a leadoff guy as opposed to a guy hitting seven or eight in the lineup. But I think it's a sign of desperation to put Rizzo in the leadoff spot, to bat Schwarber in the leadoff spot. Man, just put John Jay in there, and I think the team will go.
This just in, Cal. Jeff Johnson, our friend at the Gazette, says Jake Adams said he anticipates beginning his career sometime this weekend. He's going to sign and fly to Florida.
Well, I believe that. I think that's great. I think it's a great opportunity for Jake. And that's actually, guys, why I'm in Arizona. We will have kids that will start showing up as early as Thursday from the draft, and we'll get these guys going. I mean, we've got rookie ball teams that are leaving, two rookie ball teams that'll be heading out, one to Idaho Falls, one to Burlington, North Carolina. Every other organization, they're in the same position we are. They want to get these kids in here quickly, get them going, and get them used to being professional players. And Jake, I think that's a good move for him.
Getting back to the major leagues, especially in the National League right now, with the way things have played out through the first 65 games or so, you've got right now the Cubs, the Cardinals, the Mets are they basically in a position right now where they need to, especially with the Cubs and the Cardinals, win the division because they're already seven and a half games out of a wild card. There is still quite a bit over half the season to go. I understand that, but that's putting yourself into a little bit of a hole at this point.
Yeah, I think you look at both the central divisions and you're starting to think, wow, is this we have to win that division. You want to win the division anyhow because of how it sets up in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start looking at the centrals and you're starting to realize, wow, these other teams, and that's kind of looking even at the American League East, you see the Boston's playing well, Tampa's playing well. They have better records, clear down those three teams, the Yankees, Boston, and Tampa, than any of the teams in the Central. And it's the same, is true when you start looking at what the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks are doing. And so, but this is the other thing. So you now you're Dusty Baker, and think about Dusty's comment. If you're in the Central and your team needs something, you better go get it now instead of waiting around until close to the trade deadline, because these 30 games that are going to be in this gap between now and the trade deadline are maybe 40 games are going to be very, very important. It may be the difference in making the playoffs and not.
Great conversation as usual, Cal. Let's cap it off with your top five.
You bet, guys. We'll get through the top five quick. We could talk about baseball here at this time of year for a week straight.
Mm. Yes, we could.
we've got some shakeup here in the top five. Even though, believe it or not, I got the same teams, but there's a couple teams, and I mentioned one of them, well, both of them, Boston and Arizona, are pushing to get into the top five. Goldschmidt's himself again, guys. I mean, how many times have we voted him runner-up MVP in the National League? But Robbie Ray's having a great year. Greinke's doing what he needs to do. But there's a couple teams that may be sneaking into the top five. But I've got the Nationals down at five. And it wasn't Dusty Baker's comment, but they have lost three games in the standings. And if they don't finish games at the end, it kills the morale. But I've got the Dodgers at number four. Colorado, you got to give them their due. You know, they need to play better at home. Even though they're 17-13 at home, they play better on the road than they do at home. They need to figure out that home field advantage. And then we got to switch. Houston at number two. You guys mentioned it. You hit the nail on the head and start losing starting pitchers. That hurts. And the Yankees, I think the youth and the excitement that they have going on there, and how they can turn a ball game into a seven-inning game or a six-inning game with their bullpen is proving out. But they're going to keep getting chased, guys, because Boston seems to not be going anywhere, and even Tampa's playing well.
My White Sox are in last, but they are going to start playing some home games soon. This schedule, 24 home games and 34 road games. I don't know who made it, but man, alive. It's not good.
And you know what, Scott? That's a bigger deal than people want to give it credit for. It is hard. It's hard on guys with kids and families. It's hard on the team as a whole. It's harder to get into a routine. You like that home cooking every once in a while, and you're right. I don't know. We know who made the schedule, but they didn't do the White Sox any favors.
Least amount of home games so far in baseball. Them and the Phillies. What are they picking on, little people or something? Me and Gettle?
You know what though? You're not little people. You're not little people. You guys. They've made some good trades, and look. You guys are six games out. We're five games out. Scott, we are in this. There's no question. We need a little bit of help to our starting rotation, and you guys need Chris Sale.
No, he's not coming back.
No, he's not.
Or the guy, at least the White Sox need the guys that replace Chris Sale. I think maybe that's a little bit more of a more realistic anyway. All right, enjoy the desert, Cal. We will talk to you next week.
All right. Take care, guys.
Cal Elder joining us on Tuesdays here in the Gym Class on KGYM. 3:47 here on the Tuesday edition of the show, and I'm going to give somebody an opportunity to win some Dr. Pepper, a great Dr. Pepper prize pack going out to caller number 6 right now at 319-366-1600. That is 319-366-1600. Dr. Pepper prize pack includes 24-pack of either regular or Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper t-shirts, plus a KGYM t-shirt, pint glass from KGYM, caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. If you've been a winner of the last 30 days, please do not call in. Otherwise, you are eligible. We'll come back. We're going to hear from Verizon IndyCar driver Ed Carpenter when we come back.
If you run your own business, when you're not on the job, you're on the road, in your van. Signs that say detour and do not enter are just plain bad for business. Well, here's a sign that's great for business. It says 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance on Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or Metris vans. Powerful, capable, and affordable. That's Mercedes-Benz van power. With pioneering safety technologies and low total cost of ownership, Mercedes-Benz vans are the right choice for your business. Check out the full lineup of Mercedes-Benz vans starting at just $25,995. 0% financing and up to 2 years complimentary scheduled maintenance. That's van power for all. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
Starting at price refers to base model Metris worker cargo van. Excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Please see your dealer or go to mvvans.com for further details and exclusions.
Every deck is made for standing on, but there's only one that's always had a way of standing out. So if you're looking to bring more style, comfort, and creativity to your life outdoors, call on the brand that's known for making the most in outdoor living. From decking, railing, and lighting to furniture, fencing, and framing, at Trex, we're engineering what's next in outdoor living. To learn more about all of the outdoor solutions Trex has to offer, call 1-800-289-TREX or visit trex.com. That's T-R-E-X.com.
Congratulations going out to Jamie from Hiawatha as they have picked up the Dr. Pepper prize pack. And we'll come back talk with Ed Carpenter here in just a moment.
Summer involves a lot of driving to camp, to work, to soccer, back home to grab what they forgot, and then back to soccer again. So wouldn't you like to know your car is up for it? Enter Hum by Verizon. Now you can check your car's health from your phone with vehicle diagnostics, drive with more peace of mind thanks to 24/7 emergency assistance, and let the kids stream and game on the go with your car's own Wi-Fi hotspot. Get Hum and get where you're going. Learn more at Hum.com. Verizon Wi-Fi available on Hum X only. Data usage applies. Coverage not available everywhere. Visit VZW.com for availability.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back to The Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. Coming up in July the 9th, as a matter of fact, at the Iowa Speedway in Newton, it'll be the Iowa Corn Indy 300, and one of the drivers that will be taking part joining us here on the program today, and that is Ed Carpenter from Ed Carpenter Racing, the driver of the Fuzzy's Vodka Chevrolet. And Ed, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to join us here today. And Iowa's coming up right around the corner again, isn't it?
It is. July 9th is going to be here before we know it, and can't wait to get back out for the Iowa Corn 300.
And well, before we talk about that, let's talk about a wild Saturday night down in Texas. And my goodness, it was fun to watch, but I'm not so sure it was a lot of fun to be behind the wheel on Saturday night.
I mean, it was fun for a while. you know, the Fuzzy's Vodka car was good early, and thought we were going to have a good chance to win. Just kind of got caught up in another accident, but that's the way it goes sometimes. You got to take your lumps and move on. But you know, all in all, I thought it was an exciting race. Obviously, the one crash took out too many cars, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
Well, and the new configuration, et cetera, down at Texas Speedway, and I'm not sure anybody kind of knew how the racing would be, and maybe it surprised everyone a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I really like the new configuration. It's challenging and created kind of a bigger balance difference from turns 1 and 2 to 3 and 4. But everyone had such limited track time, and Texas is always a little difficult with that because we do most of our practice and qualifying in the daytime, and then track changes at night, which is usually it is a good thing because the track gets a little more grip and the racing line widens up a little bit, which I think is a good thing and puts on an exciting race for the fans. So I definitely think it caught some guys off guard, but you know, I think our cars were ready for it, and we're running strong, just got caught out in other people's incidents, and you know, that's one of the things we can't control.
Yeah, and not only your car, but then JR's car as well kind of got caught up in the same thing.
Yep, we went out right together, so that was a bummer. But, you know, at the same time, we were in contention when we were out there, and, you know, that's really all that you can ask for as a driver.
Right. And well, how about your season so far, just from your standpoint anyway? You take the ovals, of course, with Spencer Pigot coming in to your car as far as the road and the street courses are concerned. But how's the season been for you? You been happy with it? I know you'd like a few more higher finishes, obviously, but how in all?
The results haven't ultimately been there, but, you know, the three races I've run so far, Phoenix and Indy and Texas the other night, you know, the performance has been there. We've been strong at all of them. We just haven't been able to get the results yet. And, you know, a big part of that is just how tough it is to get results in IndyCar. The depth of the field is as strong as it's ever been, and you've got to be really strong and not have any mistakes. And we just had, you know, we didn't have good enough pit stops at Indy that kind of put us back and put us in a bad spot and got caught out at Texas. You know, Phoenix, we ran seventh, which was all right. So hopefully we'll get it turned around and get back to Victory Circle at Iowa July 9th.
Yeah, and Iowa, a track you really like.
I do. You know, I've had a lot of good runs there, yet to close with a win myself, but our team won there last year. So excited to get back and defend that victory and see if I can't get another for myself. It's been a little too long of a drought for me right now.
Yeah, and kind of get that rolling again. And you brought J.R. Hildebrand on board this year to replace Joseph Newgarden, and a good young American driver, very popular as well. And how has J.R. performed for you guys, in your opinion?
He's doing well. You know, he's been strong on the ovals for sure, and kind of getting used to being back in full-time with the road and streets. But, you know, I know he's as excited as I am for Iowa. He actually tested there with us last year when Joseph was recovering from an injury, and he had a big part of that victory last year. So I know he's excited to get back to Iowa and get his own chance in the 21 car.
Right, and like you said, you had that great success last year at Iowa and have had success over at Newton so far. So it'll be a nice point to get back there and hopefully get two cars maybe on the podium.
That's the plan for sure.
Well, what about Spencer Pigot as well, bringing him in your car for the non-ovals anyway? Been happy with the way Spencer's progressed this year?
I am. You know, I see a ton of potential in Spencer, and he's really, outside of Detroit, he's shown really big improvement everywhere that we've been from last year to this year. And, you know, we're racing next weekend up at Road America before we get to Iowa with him. And he had a good run there last year, I think finishing eighth. And, you know, I know he's excited to get back, and hopefully we can get him up on the podium, or if not a victory for the first of his career as well.
Well, of course, this year, a new oval, a new old oval coming back for you at St. Louis anyway. And you excited to head back to St. Louis?
I am. We've had the opportunity to test there a couple times, and it's a really fun track to drive and has a lot of its own challenges, just like Iowa does. But I think it's a nice addition, you know, hoping that it'll be a successful event and one we can keep on the schedule like Iowa has been for a long time.
Yep, and IndyCar seems to be on the rise again. Crowds seem to be getting bigger, television numbers getting bigger, sponsorships growing. Sounds like the field is going to be growing next year a little bit with some new car owners, perhaps. And but that's good to see with the IndyCar series.
It is. You know, I think the series management, you know, has done a really good job identifying, you know, what the future needs to look like and making it easier for everyone to get there. So I like where we're going. There's certainly some momentum within the sport, and we just got to keep it going and capitalize on it.
Right, and of course, Wisconsin coming up next, and Road America, and what a great return it was last year up there at Kohler, Wisconsin.
It was. We had a great crowd there last year. You know, it's a pretty historic racetrack and event, so it was great to get IndyCars back up there. You know, I'm sure everyone will be excited to get back. That was actually my first time visiting there, so I'm looking forward to round two for our team at Road America, And then for me personally, you know, can't wait to get to Iowa and try to recapture the Iowa Corn 300.
Yep. And what is it about Iowa? It's the short oval on the series right now. It seems to always be racy every year.
It is. You know, it's a unique place, a ton of character. Changes year in and year out with kind of bumps coming and going. But it's always been an exciting racetrack that really suits our cars well. You know, I think for the most part, everyone enjoys racing there. And, you know, it keeps us on our toes. It's really physical, really fast, and a lot of fun. From a fan standpoint, you can see everything, so you're not going to miss any of the action. And it's one of the highlights of my season every year.
Of course, everything going well, and a beautiful shop that you guys have at Speedway. Got a chance to visit it when I was over there for the 500, and it's great to have it right there on Main Street and Speedway.
We're lucky to be just a quarter mile from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and drive by that great facility each and every day on my way to work and my way home. So, you know, there's a constant reminder of what we're working for, trying to capture an Indy 500 win for the team.
That is Ed Carpenter, Verizon IndyCar Series driver. Had a chance to talk with him. And coming up will be the Iowa Corn Indy 250, and that will be on July the 9th. And, Mark, tomorrow we'll have Caddy Smack, the U.S. Open edition, coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that.
We'll see you then. Look forward to it as well.
Yep, that's going to be a lot of fun out there, and that will be with Brian Haas, and that will be tomorrow beginning at 3 o'clock right here on KGYM. Twins baseball coming up tonight. Twins and the Seattle Mariners on 107.5 FM, and that will begin this evening at 7 o'clock. Stay tuned. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming up next. For Mark, for Kyle, Scott Unash saying so long. Thanks for listening here on KGYM.
The ball explodes off your club face like a rocket. It flies across the beautiful blue sky.